Sister Kiwi. Love you, Sister Kiwi. Guys, it's not hopeless. Listen to me. Whoever I'm speaking to, if I'm speaking to the lot of you, if I'm speaking to one of you, listen, it's not hopeless. Amen? It's not hopeless. God is in control. Each and every one of you guys, if you're carrying a heavy load, just give it to the Lord. Give, before you leave here, lay it down. Amen? If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He's ready for you. Okay, tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Okay? I'm telling you, I'm sure you might have some awesome big plans for Labor Day tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know what I mean? But we have right now. And Jesus Christ is calling you. If you haven't accepted Him, let's do that. I want to do that with you guys. Before you leave this building, I want you to accept Jesus Christ if you have not done that. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. 2 Peter 17 is where we're going to start. We're going to continue our study on 2 Peter. Peter's been talking about for a few weeks now about false prophets, false teachers, people that will come into the church, manipulate, twist God's word, add to God's word, mislead people, lead people astray for their own selfish, evil gain. Okay? Peter said, hey, there was false prophets in the Old Testament. There's false prophets in this early church. And right now, church, in this current age that we're in this time, in this place, there are false prophets. There are people that want to lead us astray. There are people that want to add to the word of God. People that want to manipulate. Amen? So we want to be wise to that. Amen? We want to be wise and aware of the attacks of Satan. Amen? You know what's going to help you guys? Just real practical. What's going to help you to be able to have that light bulb go off, that red light go off, that, hey, something's not right go off in your head, is stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word, not just on Sunday mornings. And I'm so glad that here in America we have that privilege where we can come together and we can share the Word of God and enjoy one another and have the whole iron sharpens iron thing. But we need each and every person in here, no matter how busy you are, I would invite you and encourage you to create some sort of devotional time once a day, in the morning, in the night, whatever works good for you, and spend some time with the Lord. Read a couple verses, read a scripture, or read a chapter, read two chapters, but whatever you read, meditate on it. Oh, I don't know, I don't think I should be meditating. What I mean is take the Word of God and think on it. Just chew it up. Amen? And don't just read it. Don't just think about it. But let's be obedient to it. Okay? So I just want to throw that out there, guys, because we all want to walk in victory. And we all want to be aware when somebody comes talking something to us that's way too good to be true or something just ain't right. We want to be able to pick up on that. Amen? Okay. So anyways, let's go ahead and read our verses for today. 2 Peter 2, starting at verse 17. These are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilement of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to the dweller in the mire. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Father God, that we're not just going to be hearers of the word, but we're going to be obedient doers of the word, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that no satanic attack can stand against our families, against our homes, against our children, against this church, Lord. It's congregation, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We love you. We praise you. And your will be done. Thank you for your wonderful promises. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So are you guys ready to dig into the Word of God? Hey, let me ask you something really fast while I enjoy some of this delicious spring water. How many of you like really like coming to church on Sunday and hanging out together? Isn't that wonderful? You know, that we get to share this time and grow in relationship with the Lord and go over scripture together. What a wonderful blessing. Anyways, I'm just kind of stoked up about that. And to be honest with you, I couldn't imagine a better group of folks than to share the Word of God with and to grow together. I love my family. I love my church family. God is so good. He's been so good to me. Any old hoot diddly do, we better get going here. Anyways. Okay. 2 Peter 2 and verse 17. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. These are waterless springs. Peter's still talking about these false prophets, man. These false teachers that want to mislead people. Now imagine if you are a weary, thirsty sojourner, a traveler walking through a desert wasteland, man. And what do you see on the distant horizon but a beautiful oasis, man? And you gather up the rest of your strength and you move a little faster and you finally get there and you realize the tree that you thought was a beautiful palm tree was dead and withered and the spring that was there is no longer there. And wouldn't that be a sad situation? Okay, and it looked good from a distance, didn't it? Okay, false prophets are often like that, man. Their words are too good to be true. They're real good speakers. And it looks good and it feels good to your flesh. You're like, hey, I like the way that sounds. You know what I mean? That's why we need to stay in the Word of God, man, so we can be like, nope, that ain't right. Nope. Does that make sense this morning? Okay, and it looks and it sounds good, but there's no life. The spring without any water, the oasis that's all dried up, there's no life in that. You see what I'm saying? That's what these guys are. Okay, well, Paul, you're just talking about stuff that happened 2,000 years ago. Yeah, it happened back then, but it happens today, too. It happens right now in churches all throughout America. And there's tons of people that are led astray every single day, every single year by these teachings, man, that are contrary to the Word of God. Amen? So we want to be on guard. The Scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. Amen? These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. I'm having a really hard time saying mists. I'm talking about little tiny fragments of precipitation or water. And I keep wanting to say myth. Okay? But you know what? Myth kind of fits in there too. You know what I mean? I was trying to say that last night. I was doing a talk text thing to Rick McClary. And I was saying myths, and it was saying myth. But that works too, man. Well, okay, these guys, big storm's coming. Oh my goodness gracious, we're finally going to get to water the crops. Boy, the crops need some rain. And here comes that big old storm, and you only get a couple little droplets. No life. Looks good. Looks exciting, but there's no life. Amen. That's what we're talking about here. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, gloom and utter darkness has been reserved. So remember a few weeks ago we talked about how God didn't spare the fallen angels and put them in gloomy dungeons, okay, waiting on their time of judgment. Well, look what happens also to the false prophet. Look what happens to the unrighteous. Look what happens to those that do not accept Jesus Christ. Hell was not created for humanity. Hell was created for Satan and his minions. But guess what? It's getting filled up every single day by human beings that have decided to reject, run away from Jesus Christ. Okay? And God wishes that none would perish, but this is the situation that we're in. Okay? Many people, man, are going to hell each and every day. Let that be a burden to you, and I don't mean a burden to weigh you down, but I'm talking about that Christ-like burden, and I'm serious about this. We need to have a burden for a lost and dying world, man. We need to think about that, okay? We want to be that witness. I don't like talking to people, Pastor Paul. I don't know what to say. Hey, you know what? God will give you the words to say, man. You just step out there by faith and let God use you, and you'll be amazed. And you know what? We don't like to witness because we're afraid of rejection. All of us, we don't like to be rejected. We don't like people to make fun of us. We don't want people to hack on us. We don't want to put ourselves in that vulnerable place. But listen, man, it is so worth it, man. Okay, Jesus Christ has called us all to spread his gospel. Amen. So let's move forward. For them, gloom and utter darkness has been reserved. So there will be a time of judgment for all these people that have misled other folks. Amen. Okay, verse 18. Continuing to talk about these false prophets. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. So false prophets, a good trademark would be a smooth talker, man. Good talker, man. Almost too good to be true. You know what I mean? Speaks to impress. For speaking loud boasts, they want to be heard, of folly. For speaking loud boasts of folly. They're good at talking. But what they're saying is that it's like a waterless spring. It sounds good, but there's no life. Matter of fact, it leads to death. Amen? For the wages of sin is what? For the wages of sin is death. So we want to stay away from this nonsense. Amen? Well, how do I know? How do I know, Paul? Listen, okay, take this Bible right here and get to know it. Spend time in this word, okay? This is what we do here at church. We lead each other to the word of God. You know what I mean? We're here to learn and grow in Jesus. So this is what we got. This is our tool. This is our manual, and we need to spend time in it, okay? And I would start here before I got off into some other preacher's book or something like that. Get into this word of God first. Start here. Grow in this before you start reading what Sister So-and-so said. And there's nothing wrong with that stuff. But how are you going to know? If you don't know the word of God, how are you going to know if Sister So-and-so is trying to take you off in some bad direction? You know, get a witness? Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Man, I sure am happy to be with you guys today. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice, they tempt us, man, like waving that carrot in the face of the donkey. Come here, little donkey, and throw it off the cliff. And yeah, you didn't do that when you were a kid? All right. We don't even have cliffs around here. I didn't do that. Okay. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh. Okay. Sensual. Senses, our five senses, things that we like to touch, taste, smell, and see, that we are enticed by those things. Okay, this is what the false prophet does. He tempts us with things that sound good, and it also does very much speak of those sexual sins, okay? That false prophet that'll say, hey, man, you can do whatever you want to do, man. There's no consequences. It's all forgiven. Listen, man, we are saved by grace. And there's no denying that. And thank God for the grace. But we are not to trample on that blood. Amen? We are not to do that. Okay. Oh, matter of fact, John 14:15. I believe it's John 14. If we love him, if we love the Lord, we want to obey the Lord. And that's a paraphrase. But look, that's a nice little test for yourself. Am I a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I wrote my name and date in the Bible when I was in third grade. Well, listen, if you're a Christian, this should be a good little test for us. If we love God, we want to obey God. And even though we love God, we can give in to those temptations and stuff like that sometimes. But you know what? There should be some godly grief right there. There should be some godly remorse about that decision. You know what I mean? Okay. Anyways, moving forward. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. Okay, we talked about this before. And Peter's being a little repetitious here. But remember, Pete, when he was writing this letter, he's like, I'm almost out of here. It's almost quitting time for me. It's about time for me to go get my reward. So I want to pin a few things out that are super important for you guys that I do not want you to forget. Okay, watch out for these false teachers, man, because they're going to prey on the weakest link. You know, like when you see the animal planet and all that, when the gazelles are running and there's that last little one that's kind of just lagging behind. You're like, oh, no, dude. Oh, no. Man, you know what's going to happen to that guy. You know? So Satan is like that, man. Satan's looking for that brand new baby Christian, that recent convert, that guy that's looking for the truth. Satan will exploit anything he can. That person that's not grounded in the Word of God. Okay, Satan's looking for those folks, man, because he wants to deceive them. Satan knows that he is doomed. He knows. And don't get me wrong, he's hoping against hope that he'll be able to pull out a last second win. But yeah, it's not going to happen. And he knows that in his evil, rotten, nasty heart. He knows that. You know what I mean? So here's the deal, man. He wants to take as many of God's precious children with him, as many of God's creation as he can. He wants to take them to eternal damnation. And Satan's not going to be the boss. Contrary to what you heard, Satan's not going to be sitting on a throne in hell. Okay? Satan's got some liberties now, and Satan's got some authority now. You know what I mean? Okay, but here's the deal. Satan is going to be an eternal damnation station with everybody that has rejected Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, he's going to have his own suffering. God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. You know Satan hates hearing that stuff. He hates to be reminded of his future. That's why he's always trying to remind us of our nasty old past. You know what I mean? For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. The guy that just got into church, man, you know, just decided, you know what, I'm going to try this Jesus stuff out for a minute. And here comes that false prophet. Oh, yes, delicious. That's how Satan works, man. Can I get a witness? All right. Simmer down. I'm playing. Get rowdy. It's all good. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. False prophet. They promised them freedom. And don't they? Don't they promise you freedom? Hey, man, I got the corner on the real deal. I know how this really works. You know, the Bible's got some good stuff in it. But listen, you take the Bible and you take this stuff that I found on the side of a mountain and you put it together. I'll put my special glasses on because only I can read this. And I'm going to tell you what life's really about. I'm going to tell you about real freedom. Okay, that's doo-doo. That's a trap from the devil. That is a trap from the devil. And, you know, it might sound awful good because it kind of tickles us behind the ear. It gets our flesh man kind of going, yeah, ooh, yeah. So let me get this straight. If I go to your church, I can do this, this, and this. Well, you better know what the Bible says first. Can I get a witness? They promised them freedom. There's only one way to truly be free, amen? They promised them freedom. There's that shiny, cool, hip, happening path, man. And they're like, hey, come over here, big fella. It's funner over here. Over here. They promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. These false prophets, these false teachers, they are super bound to all types of sin themselves, man. You know what I mean? And Satan is using them to grab any weak little baby Christian or somebody, just anybody he can, to lead them away, man. You know what I mean? This is a real thing that goes on in churches, man, all the time. Okay, but you know what? Christians bear fruit. Christians bear good fruit, and we will know them by their fruit. Just let me throw that out there. They promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Man, that's super, super important. Okay, let's just forget about the false prophet for a second. But listen, let's look at our own selves real fast, okay? For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Okay, do we want to be a slave? Oh, okay. Bob Dylan said this, all you Bob Dylan fans out there. There might be one of you out, maybe two. Larry may have dabbled in Bob Dylanism, maybe. I don't know. Now, if John Lennon said it, or Ringo, or Paul, he'd be on it, right? Yeah, that's different. Okay. And I agree. Now, Bob Dylan said, you're going to serve somebody, and that's true. But he didn't come up with that. Jesus Christ said the same thing, man. You're going to have a master. So, who is your master? Let's look at our lives real fast, okay? Or, you know, do we have two or three masters? Because that's not going to work. You're going to end up loving one and hating the other, and you're going to be miserable in the process. You see what I'm saying? Okay. John 8 and verse 36, talking about real freedom. So if the Son of Jesus, scratch that from the recording, for the Son of God. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Yeah, now let's read that again and let's get excited, because that's really good news. Because we can be free. And a lot of Christians, me included, we walk around burdened by stuff that God doesn't want us to be burdened by. You know what I mean? But we should be able to rejoice because we have been set free from so much rubbish. We have been blessed by God. We belong to the one true Savior. We are free. We are free. And we need to act like we're free people. Amen? Okay, John 8:36, get ready to get riled up. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What in the world, man? Yes. Okay, cool. Cool. Now look at Romans 6:18. Well, you can't have it both ways, Paul. What are you talking about here? Romans 6:18. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Well, what is it? Am I free or am I a slave of righteousness? Like I said earlier, you are going to be a slave. This is true. You're going to be a servant, a slave of somebody, of something. Okay, but here's the beautiful thing. Jesus Christ says, take my yoke upon you. We do this willingly. We submit to Jesus Christ. And that is where we find freedom. That is where we find peace. Okay, we can be slaves to sin, and that's going to lead to death. Our paycheck for sin, you know what I mean? That's death, all right? And we can follow one of these false prophets, these false teachers that promise us so much. And you know what? You're going to be twice as empty as you were before. You're going to be twice as confused as you ever were before. Okay, but see, check this out. When I give myself to Jesus, there's freedom, there's liberty, and there's peace. And you know what? He deserves my praise. Amen. And having been set free from sin, thank you, God, for that. We don't have to. Did you realize this? Did y'all read that thing, the memo? I mean, did you read the Bible? Did you read the verse here? And having been set free from sin, we don't, as powerful as temptation can be in our lives, we don't have to give in to sin. We don't. Jesus Christ paid for us to have victory over that, okay? And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I willingly give myself to Jesus Christ. Amen? And he is worthy. All right. They promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. So let's search our hearts real fast. Who is my master? Am I straddling the fence? Who is my master? Because we're going to serve somebody. A little food for thought there. Let's go to the next slide. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. Man, that is scary business right there, buddy. These false prophets, man. A lot of them, man, these false teachers, they can be in the church. They can understand. They have knowledge about the Scripture. They have knowledge about Jesus Christ. In other words, they know the right path. They know what's right. But then they decide, well, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go this way. And guess what they do? They misery loves company, right? The blind's going to lead the blind, and they're going to grab folks, man. They're going to. I've seen it happen, man. I've seen folks, man. That you know, when I was a baby pastor, which I'm still kind of a baby pastor, but I mean, my mama says I'm doing good. Yeah. She said I look handsome today too. And Rachel said that too. Yeah. So anyways, what are y'all talking about? What's going on? Okay, yeah, okay. So they know the right way, and they manipulate folks. When I first, you know, started pastoring here, I was not as wise or as discerning as I should be. And, you know, a couple folks kind of slipped in underneath the old radar. And, man, they were talking stuff that was not true. But you know, when they preached in front of the congregation, it's not like that stuff was horrible. You know, it's not like it was not Scripture. But what was going on behind the scenes was really disturbing, how they were meeting with people behind my back. And not like, they're just, you know, trying to say, hey, you know what? This is the real way to go. You got to watch out for stuff like that, man. Okay, so anyways, that's what these cats do, man. They want to manipulate folks, lead people away for their own selfish gain. Can I get a witness? And listen, they're going to take the truth, all right? And Satan likes to take the truth and twist it around and manipulate it and add to it and take away from it. Remember what he told Eve in the garden? Did God really say that? Did he really? No, God wants it. You see what I'm saying here? Okay. For if after they have escaped from the defilements of the world, man, these guys have been in the church. They know the right way. The knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in it and become the last state has become worse for them than the first. Let me say it like this, man. If you know the truth and you decide to reject the truth, you're going to be held accountable for the truth that you know. Does that make sense? If you know the truth, if you know the Word of God, and you have decided to manipulate, twist that for your own selfish gain, you're going to be held accountable for that more severely than somebody that doesn't have a clue about Scripture. Does it make sense? Okay, I'll back it up. I think I can back it up. Oh, God's people said he better back it up. Okay, Luke 12 and verse 47. And a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. Okay, so, you know, here comes the master. Hard day at the office. He walks in, and his servants are supposed to have dinner ready and all that. And he's expecting that, and he walks in, and nothing's ready, man. And the master is not happy about that, man. Okay. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay. Now, look, if you know the truth and you willfully say, I'm not going to do that. Matter of fact, I'm going to twist that and mislead people so I can have my name up in lights, so I can start me a little cult, so I can line my pockets with all kinds of people's hard-earned money. You know what I mean? God takes notice of that. And as a servant who knows what the master wants but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished, but someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. Do you see the point I'm trying to make here? These guys were in the church, man, and they took that gospel and they distorted it to lead people away. Now listen to this part. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. Guys, we know what the Bible says. We can't say, well, were we ignorant to that? You know what I mean? You know, when you run through a stop sign, no, let's not do that. Say you get pulled over for speeding, right? You get pulled over for speeding, and you honestly thought the sign said 45, but it said 35. I sure feel a lot better talking to the cop, the law officer, when I'm like, man, I thought the sign said 45, because I mean it. I didn't know. You know what I mean? But that guy that's willfully doing it, and he knows it, all God's people said, But someone who doesn't know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. Where much is known, much is required. Okay? God takes that stuff awful seriously. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. So here we have these cats in the church misleading people. That's bad news. All God's people say, that's bad news. All right, let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. And we best be praying for our Bahama brothers and sisters. We best be praying for Sister Chelsea's family and everybody in the line of this hurricane, in the path of this hurricane. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. That is so true, man. They can't say they were ignorant to the Word of God. They knew the Scriptures. They knew the gospel. And they twisted it all up for their own evil. And let's be clear, evil. You want to mislead somebody from Jesus Christ? There's only one way to look at that, man. That is evil. We're talking about somebody that knew the truth and decided, you know what? I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to twist it this way. I'm going to build me a big old church and everybody's going to be happy because I'm going to decide to say that, you know what? There is no hell. There is no eternal damnation. And folks, do that, man. You can't do that, man. You can't pick and choose the word of God and make up your own religion. That's bad news, man. That's what's going on here. Don't follow that nonsense, man. Okay, you follow the word of God. Amen. For it would have been better for them to never have known the way of righteousness. Okay? It'd be better if these guys never, ever stepped foot in the church. It would be so much better if they never knew one single verse. Okay? Remember, where much is known, much is required. Where little is known, little bit's required. Can I get a witness? Okay. For it would have been better for them to never have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. But they knew the truth and they turned from it. That's bad news. I want to say something real fast. Drink a lot of coffee on Sunday mornings. And quite a good bit of coffee, more than I drink throughout the week. I mean, not like throughout all the days combined, but I drink a pretty good amount of coffee. And I was listening to one of my sermons a while back. It's like, man, dude, I am so just fast talking, dude, on the sermons. One time, my boy Paul Jr., when he was recording the sermons, he tried this little experiment, this little something back there, where he took all the spaces out between the words. I mean, like, so it was like one continual long run-on sentence of me talking, man. All the pauses were taken out, and I tried to listen to that when he made it. And, man, I was like, woo, it was stressing me out hardcore, man. It's like I felt like I was going to have a panic attack listening to it. And it was about peace. No, it was about forgiveness. I was like, wow, man, wow. Let's not do that anymore. But I know I get a little excited, but I love the Word of God, man. And so I get riled up about it. I get excited about it. And I try to slow down. But when Southern people slow down and talk slow, never mind. 2 Peter 2 and verse 21. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. Verse 22. What the true proverb says has happened to them. And Peter's talking about Proverbs 26, verse 11, if you want to put that in your notes. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit. Gross, Peter. Okay, but you know what, man? Pete's trying to make a point here. There's a couple things going on here. He's backing up the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is backing up the New Testament. Okay, he's quoting the Old Testament. He's talking about Proverbs 26. And sometimes, man, the truth is kind of nasty. But you know what? We need to understand that our sin isn't pretty and isn't cute to God. You know what I mean? He doesn't wink at it. He doesn't go, it's okay. He put a 10 spot in the offering plate. Gabriel, it's cool. No. What the true proverb says has happened to them. I'm really good at talking stupid, and I apologize about that. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to waller, to wallow in the mire. That is nasty, man. But our sin's nasty. And I've seen both of these things happen. It's true. It is a true proverb. You know, oh, my precious Marie did it not 2 months ago. I won't bore you with that. Yeah, you want to hear about when my dog ate its own throw up? All right. So anyways, my dog, no. They do that, man, and that's nasty, okay? But look, here's the false prophet. Here's the false teacher. In the church, in the Sunday school, hearing the Word of God, even being excited about the Word of God, but you know what decides? You know what? I'm taking this, I'm twisting this, and I'm going to manipulate people, I'm going to fill my pockets up. And you know, for whatever reason, they're using it's evil. Does that make sense? Okay, and they're misleading scores of people, you know, leading people in the bad path, the wrong path. Okay, Okay, so guess what? They left that way of sin momentarily, did not truly accept Jesus Christ, and now they're back in the world, and it's going to be worse than ever before. Okay, remember, where much is known, much is required. Same for us, guys. If we know the Word of God, we need to be obedient to the Word of God. That's what James says. James says, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that's sin. Think about that. If you know the right thing to do and you do not do it, that's sin. That's called a sin of omission as opposed to a sin of mission. Or that's not mission, it's commission, I think. You know what I mean? Where you decide, this is the right thing to do, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's a sin too. Okay? Anyways, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Yeah, that's true too, man. Do you know why? You know why piggies, after you give them a bath or they get all clean and pretty, you know why they go and lay in the mud, the muck in the mire? That's how they cool themselves off. It's comfortable for them. You know what I mean? But, you know, for us, I'm talking about Christian folks now. I'm not talking about the guy that dabbled in Christianity and goes off and misleads a bunch of people because he knows some stuff. I'm talking about Christian folks right now. I'm talking about me and you, people that love Jesus Christ. You know, the pig likes to go and wallow in the muck because that's how it cools himself off in the summer heat. That feels comfortable to the piggy-doo. That's the piggy-doo's natural place to chill out, man. But you know what? Once the Christian has tasted and seen that the Lord is good, real Christian folks, man, and we go out and wallow in the mud, in the muck, in the mire, we should be a little uncomfortable. You know, should be a lot uncomfortable. This ain't right. Yeah, this was fun when I was 18, when I was 19, but I can't plead ignorance anymore. This is not the right place for me to be, okay? Like I think it was Peter or Paul or Mary. No, it was... I got that CD, Donna, and it's not even a religious album. It's not. It's like no good Christian hits on there, man. Yeah. But anyways, we should not be comfortable in the world, and it's going to be worse off than ever before. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and give in to that temptation. Go out and play with the snake again. Go out and get out in the world, and it's going to be worse than ever before. You're going to be twice as miserable, okay? And you get off on that slippery slope, and you'll find yourself in a deep, deep hole. Be like, man, I cannot believe I'm back at this place. I'm worse off than I ever was before. Let that not be us. Amen? Let's take our walk serious. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing these folks, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your grace on everybody in the path of this storm, Lord. We ask you to be merciful to Chelsea's family, Lord. We ask you to just bless Chelsea's family, Lord. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for angels around them right now, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for blessing all our brothers and sisters, Lord, in the Bahamas and throughout the Caribbean and the Florida East Coast, America. You know what I'm talking about, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we're not just going to be hearers of the word, but we're going to be doers of the word. And we will not be easily misled, Lord. We will not be misled at all because we are grounded in the word of God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So real fast, Stevie mentioned something.